From KYW News Radio 103.9 FM, this is Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you. Presented by Gift of Life Donor Program. Organ donors save lives.
Hello, I'm Raquel Williams. Welcome to Bridging Philly. For the first time, the Kimmel Center's Verizon Hall is being renamed, not for a corporation or donor, but for civil rights activist and contralto Marian Anderson. The renaming will further the Philadelphia Orchestra's mission of uniting the city through performance art. We'll discuss the significance of this historic recognition with Philadelphia Orchestra President and CEO, Matthias Ternopolsky.
This is a defining moment in the history of our city, in the history of the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Marian Anderson fought to break barriers to perform, facing discrimination throughout her career. Jaraday Howard checks in with the CEO of the Marian Anderson Museum.
She didn't lead with an iron fist, she led with her voice.
That's all coming up on Bridging Philly.
This is Bridging Philly from KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
The Kimmel Center's Verizon Hall is getting a new moniker. Thanks to a generous donation by Leslie Ann Miller and Richard B. Worley, the home of the Philadelphia Orchestra will be renamed Marian Anderson Hall. The civil rights activist and contralto, who was born and raised in South Philly, performed a variety of music from spirituals to opera. Now, this renaming is significant for many reasons, and here to discuss it with us is Philadelphia Orchestra's president and CEO, Matthias Ternopolsky. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
Now, we're used to seeing big corporate names or their donors on venues as prominent as this. So to see that this coming June, the name of a woman, a Black woman no less, is of historic significance here in Philadelphia. What should people know about Marian Anderson and why is this renaming so meaningful?
It was time. Marian Anderson is an icon, an iconic artist, an iconic fighter for civil rights, and an iconic Philadelphian. There isn't, at least until now, that there hasn't been a great concert hall named after her is something we felt needed to happen. And what better place than the beautiful premier concert hall in Philadelphia, home of the Philadelphia Orchestra, that from June 8th will be called Marian Anderson Hall.
And that's something that the donors advocated for, of course, as well.
Completely. Rich Worley and Leslie Miller have been anchors of the arts community here in Philadelphia, philanthropically and much more. Leslie, until recently, was for many years the chair of the board of trustees of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. Rich was the chair of the board of the Philadelphia Orchestra. So Rich and Leslie, who are married, are a couple whose life has been about the arts and their love for their institutions. But above that, their love for Philadelphia, it shines through in this donation. And what's so special in this case is that instead of the hall being called, let's say, Miller Worley Hall or something like that, they wanted to honor somebody who's so important in not just Philadelphia history, but American history and world history.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit. You know, the couple actually called Anderson an extraordinary Philadelphia artist. And of course, there is no argument there. So to possess the talent that she had and to actually break barriers to perform all while facing a tremendous amount of discrimination makes Anderson just so much more of an inspiration for upcoming artists, especially in opera. Would you agree?
She is the standard in the 20th century. Her voice had both a power and an ability to convey emotion that was rare.
Mm.
She had a flawless technique. She had a gorgeous sound that she could nuance and make work for whatever she was feeling or whatever the music was expressing. Fortunately, we have a great recorded legacy of Miss Anderson, and you can hear sometimes she's more direct. At other times, she's more muted. She was famous for the music of Johannes Brahms, and in that music, she has a sort of softer, more mellifluous voice, so it sort of envelops you. But then when she sings spirituals, there's a directness to it, and there's even an anger in it.
Appropriately so. She was hypnotic almost in her delivery and captivating. And I mentioned that she was a contralto. And maybe you can describe what that is. People are able to sing on the deeper tones, the deeper side of their voice.
The contralto is a woman's voice, though there are male contraltos actually. But the contralto voice is a woman's voice that is in the more middle to lower range. Mm-hmm. And so it's characterized by being sometimes by having a sort of earthier quality. It is such a beautiful vocal range, and it's very similar to the speaking voice, right, as well. So often it's considered the most sort of natural of the singing ranges.
The donation also shows just how dedicated people are to the work of the Philadelphia Orchestra and the Kimmel Center. It's truly treasured, not only here in Philadelphia, but throughout the country. What does this mean to you as you continue your work with the orchestra?
This is a defining moment in the history of our city, in the history of the Philadelphia Orchestra and of the Kimmel Center for the Performing Arts. So for our city, we are blessed with this beautiful performing arts center, which opened in 2001. Verizon Hall, as it's currently called and soon to be known as Marian Anderson Hall, is the main venue at the Kimmel Center, and it's the home of the Philadelphia Orchestra. The building's coming up to 25 years old. We need to take care of it.
Yeah.
So there's a very practical thing that Rich and Leslie in making their gift are advocating, and they're hoping that others join them and help us take care of the building so that we can deal with things like broken elevators and leaky roofs, which we're literally dealing with now.
Right.
So we need to show the Kimmel Center some love so that audiences can continue to enjoy it for years to come and for the greatest artists of our day to be able to perform there and share the joy of music making with the widest possible audience. The other thing that this gesture does, the creation of Marian Anderson Hall does, is that it emblemizes her values. It says everyone is welcome here.
In an interview, actually, with the Inquirer, you stated something about ensuring the organization is welcoming to most people, and that everyone should feel comfortable around the orchestra and feel welcome to the performances. Now, this was a sentiment that was also echoed by orchestra music and artistic director Yannick Nézet-Séguin. Would you say that the audiences at the performances are diverse and reflect the demographics of the city, or would you like to see even more diversity at these performances?
Oh, I'd love to see much more diversity at these performances. We've been on a journey, the musicians of the orchestra, Yannick and me and the team at the orchestra and Kimmel Center. We've been very intentional about making sure that music by composers such as Florence Price, William Grant Still, Valerie Coleman, and others, these are black women composers, black male composers as well, whose music was overlooked during the course of the 20th century. We're making sure that their music appears alongside Bach and Brahms and Beethoven in the programs of the Philadelphia Orchestra. And Florence Price herself said that she would have been better known were it not, and I quote her, were it not for the twin issues of her sex and her race. Black women composers such as Florence Price didn't have access to performances, great editors, and publishers. So when you think about from an audience's perspective, from our community's perspective, from a young black kid's perspective, if you can't see it, you can't be it, right? So we're making sure that we're performing a much broader variety of music, a much more diverse range of composers than we had before. And we've been on that journey for many, many years now. Yannick and the orchestra won a Grammy for their performance of the Symphonies of Florence Price. And naming, rededicating our main performance space as Marian Anderson Hall was the natural next chapter in that journey.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly from KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
Music is and has always been the great unifier, Matthias, and the arts for that matter truly do unify us as humans. We appreciate stimulating sights, smells, and sounds, and we can come together all under one roof only if it is for just moments and marvel and enjoy talent. And it just seems now more than ever seems to be the time that we really do need that right now.
That was so beautifully expressed. You said it there. Music gives voice to ideas that words alone cannot.
Yeah.
Music is a unifying, democratizing force. We're all equal in front of the music. And while we all experience it in different ways, we all receive it equally. And we just want to make sure that anyone who wants to can enjoy the music of the Philadelphia Orchestra in a beautiful setting under the roof of Marian Anderson Hall.
You were appointed president of the orchestra back in 2018. What was your vision for the organization back then, and have you achieved many of your goals thus far?
When I arrived to this wonderful city and to the real privilege of running the Philadelphia Orchestra, I wanted to make sure that the orchestra was always in a mode of giving the city and our community the warmest possible embrace. And I wanted to make sure that we were as connected and as accessible as possible. The one thing I didn't need to worry about was how extraordinary the orchestra is and how fortunate we are to have Yannick Nezet-Séguin as our music and artistic director. In 2021, the orchestra and the Kimmel Center combined to create the Philadelphia Orchestra and Kimmel Center. This came out of the tragedy of COVID, where many arts organizations had to fight for their survival, including the orchestra and the Kimmel Center. We made a commitment at the beginning of COVID, a three-part commitment. Number one, take care of our people. Number two, ensure the integrity of the ensemble and the business. And number three, be here to help Philadelphia thrive on the other side of COVID. So the reason that the Philadelphia Orchestra and Kimmel Center are, you know, still delivering great music, not just of the Philadelphia Orchestra, but, you know, Broadway shows at the Academy of Music, comedy at the Miller, family programming, incredible education and community programming, is because we created that merger in 2021.
Okay.
And as for the vision, it's always evolving. If we are connecting as many people as possible, the broadest possible audience with the greatest possible music, then we're doing our job.
And finally, what is on the horizon for the orchestra in the coming months?
Well, on June 8th, we are going to have our Great Stages Gala. And on that day is the dedication day of Marian Anderson Hall. We will be joined on the stage by the great Audra McDonald, the jazz pianist Marcus Roberts, the opera megastar Angel Blue, and other artists that we're going to announce in the next few weeks that are going to blow your mind. So I'm looking forward to June 8th. And then we have, I think, one of our best new seasons ever beginning in September. So be sure to subscribe and check out our season at philorch.org. philorch.org.
Mind blown already. Can't wait for June 8th. Thank you so much to Philadelphia Orchestra's president and CEO, Matthias Tarnopolsky. Thank you for joining us on Bridging Philly.
Thank you.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
The Marian Anderson Museum is striving to preserve her legacy and cultural impact, and a flood almost closed the museum. Let's get the latest with Shara in the city.
All right, we just pulled up to the Marian Anderson Museum out in South Philly. It's a little damp. It's pouring outside, so we're going to run in. We're going to talk to Jillian Patricia Patel, who heads the museum. She has been working nonstop since the museum had a major flood. The floors, the ceilings, the walls, everything had to be pretty much gutted. So at this point, she's still working on getting this done. So we're going to get a history lesson today, but we're also going to get a little understanding of what's to come for the Marian Anderson Museum. Let's go inside. Oh, it's beautiful in here. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Welcome to the Marian Anderson Museum and Historical Society. Shara, we're happy to have you here today.
Please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jillian Patricia Pertell. I am the CEO of the Marian Anderson Museum and Historical Society.
All right, now this is Women's History Month. Of course, who cannot really give a nod to Marian Anderson in Philly during this time? I mean, we had to come here and visit. Because I know you're doing so many repairs here. There's actually workmen in the space. But you're going to give me a one-of-a-kind experience.
Absolutely. We're going to take you through what phase two is of repair and restoration here at the Marian Anderson Museum and Historical Society.
So let's go. All right, so up the stairs, and where are we now?
We're on the second floor. We're in the middle room space, which was Marian Anderson's mother's bedroom, Anna Rucker Anderson. And you can see all of the restoration work that has taken place, from getting rid of the mold of the walls, from the flooding, the parging, getting into the plastering, the original floor restoration work of the hardwood floors that Marian Anderson laid in 1924 to full restoration. They are the beautiful alabaster white of coloring restoration in the room. It's all coming back to play, and the ceiling work, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's stunning. It's stunning. And you can hear the workmen behind us, because still there's work to be done. Every day there's workmen in and out of this place trying to restore this place back. And then I'm looking down at these beautiful lamps.
Those are the original lamps, and some of that lamp work goes back to the late 1800s and early 19-teens. So the mere fact that we have what they call these cherub light stands and lamps is just exquisite. We are so grateful for the opportunity that we will have to redisplay them in her home and put them back to their proper setting. It's just such a blessing to still have them.
It's amazing. So what's the goal? When do you think all this will be done?
With amazing support that we are praying for, we are hoping and shooting for a summer 2024.
All right, let's get it. Oh, you know what? Let's sit down. Let's have a real conversation. I need some more details. All right, so you've had a couple of years. So not only was it COVID and then there was a flooding, but you've been trying to keep this place afloat, pun intended.
We take the pun. It has been floating, but we have stood the storm. We are so grateful for all of those who have stood with us. We have been in the process of a very deep historic repair and restoration effort to this National Historical Landmark that is the Marian Anderson Museum and Historical Society. And with great hope, we are pushing forward for the future.
So you're the CEO, you're the president, this is all on your shoulders, but you've been standing strong, you've gotten help, but you need more. There's so much more to do. Tell us, where are we now?
Right now, we are in phase two of the historic repair and restoration effort of the Marian Anderson Museum. There are three phases to any particular historic and repair effort for National Historical Landmarks, but we are nearing the end of phase two, which is the deep repair and restoration of the guts of the exterior and interior of the edifice and the building itself.
So give us an example, like what's the deep guts? Tell me the guts of the guts.
Well, that is making sure that the wall work is done, the historic walls of the space to hold up the property, the ceilings that were collapsed during the flooding of the building, making sure that all of the ceiling work, the proper artistic ability that existed in 1850s when the building was created, was restored. The original hardwood floors that Marian Anderson laid down in 1924 is back to its restorative condition, and they look magnificent. All of the beautiful artistic tiling work that existed throughout the entire home in the building and her halls, for the historic window work and the trims, the woodwork, all of that is so very important, deep and intricate. These are resources that don't exist readily anymore, that our historic architects, the C. Erickson Group, had to source out, put together, rebuild. They have to match color, time, and space, and they have to make sure that everything historically lines up, adds up, that it is all equivalent to that which Marian Anderson had here in her home when she purchased it in 1924 and lived throughout her days and her family's lives. So it's so very important that we got back to that restorative particular research, that we went through our archives, that we did the homework and did everything that needed to be done based upon the Historic Conditions Assessment Report, with the help of the Preservation Alliance for Greater Philadelphia, everything that has been done to put this magnificent work back together, like the jigsaw puzzle of history and music and culture that it is.
That is beautiful, because when you think about this house, it is an attached home in the center of a beautiful community, but it is one of the pillars of the community, and you're trying to maintain that history, you're trying to maintain that glory, and phase three, baby, where are we now?
You know, I akin phase three to the fact that we've been doing the work. While phase one and phase two have been going on, phase three has never stopped motion. We have been doing our pop-up exhibitions and tours throughout the city of Philadelphia, the communities, the tri-state areas. We've been doing the lecture series. We've been doing the performances and the seasons of concerts and shows. That has continued throughout to those who have come and supported it. We are eternally grateful. And phase three is basically putting it back together. So we are going to be focusing on putting the museum back together through the original furniture pieces, back for figuring out and putting together the exhibit that's going to be on the other side of the ribbon cutting, picking up where we left off with that, and not a better thing to do, but to focus on the women and womanhood. When the flood happened, we were just going to open Marian, the Music, the Women in the Movement, which was an exhibit that gave a nod to the anniversary of the women's right to vote and the particular relationship that Marian Anderson had with some of the other great archetype women of the 20th century that helped build this nation, and Marian Anderson being at the center of it. So we will have a beautiful exhibit that exemplifies all of that. Marian, the Music, the Women, and the Movement.
About what you've done is not only are you really thinking in terms of who Marian Anderson was, but who she was to the community. Can you tell us why you believe she's worth holding up?
Marian Anderson dedicated her life not just to the music, but to selfless service. Everything that Marian Anderson achieved and gained for herself was not just for self-worth, but it was so that those in the community, those beloved, could have a better experience and a better way and didn't have to suffer the way Marian Anderson suffered through everything that it took to achieve the goals and the dreams that she had. So she gave back to everyone. She was the great lady from Philadelphia, the community's person. And when we're talking about the community, whether it was the churches, whether it was the YWCA, whether it was the Girl Scouts of America, whether it was the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, whether it was the Scholar Artist Program that Marian Anderson started.
All right, so let's talk about her activism. She was at the core an activist. She was leading the civil rights movement before there was a civil rights movement.
Absolutely. And she did so through the power of her voice, being demure and graceful and sensitive as she was. She didn't lead with an iron fist. She led with her voice. She led with her thoughts of speech. And when she gave interviews, she gave from her heart and told how she felt about the oppression of her people. And through the liberation of her voice and her music, they found the opportunity to give example of a better way our society could be as human beings for treatment of one another, for the act of having equality for Black people and for women. And something that was so moving and so stirring, it caused Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King to say he found such great inspiration in our great Marian Anderson and admiration for everything that she did and achieved from 1939 as a little boy, that he wrote a statewide essay about it and won. And then with that achievement said that when it was time for him in 1963 to do his March on Washington for jobs, peace, and freedom, had to have Marian Anderson there because of everything she did and achieved at that Lincoln Memorial site, he felt that she was the mother of the civil rights movement.
Indeed she was. And you're honoring her through all the work you're doing. And she was such a big part of Philadelphia.
Absolutely. You can't honestly say Philadelphia and Philadelphia history without acknowledging the immense impact that Marian Anderson made as an African American, as a woman, as an artist. And though it may not have been the city that loved her back and embraced her as it should have during her life's time, that didn't stop her heart from being 10 miles wide to loving the place in which she called home, which was Philadelphia, her community, the people, the atmosphere, the Academy of Music, the Mann Music Center, the Robin Hood Del East. All of these things were a part of Marian Anderson's makeup, her DNA, her life's story, John Wanamaker Building, everything. It was and is Marian Anderson, should be acknowledged, should be lifted up in real time.
And when she stood, when she made history, talk about this in Washington.
That moment was something that crept up on Marian Anderson. She didn't expect it. She was on tour on the West Coast when she was informed that the Daughters of the American Revolution had decided that her contract would not be honored because she was a Black woman and they weren't going to have any Black performers on their stage. The disappointment loomed. It was just one in a string of many that Marian Anderson had of rejections in her life's time because of the color of her skin. But not knowing that the words that her mother said to her but a mere few years ago, "My darling, there will be another way. There will rise up someone who will help you. We must keep the faith." And that word true lived indeed, because there were those who did rise up and come to Marian Anderson's aid and defense. That blessed time being the president of the NAACP, Mr. Walter White, Mr. Harold Ickes of the United States Department of the Interior, and then someone who would prove to be not only a forceful ally, but a dear, dear lifelong friend, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, who took a stand and made a pledge on behalf of the talent, behalf of the heart and the grit, she called it, of Marian Anderson. And because of that, in 1939, between the two pools of the Lincoln Memorial on April 9th, Easter Sunday, Marian Anderson gave the first ever in the United States open-air concert to a crowd of 75,000 people. Those who could hear her miraculous voice from sea to shining sea and millions more on the radio would hear this beautiful musician give from her heart and her soul to the people. They heard that blessed voice, and those who stood, black, white, women, men, children, all together, all in one space that day. And that pushed forward the conversation of civil rights through the Jim Crow era, through the segregation, through the pain and the turmoil. Stood at the end of that concert, not just another successful artist, but a symbol to the nation, a symbol to her people, and a future great humanitarian representing the United States to the world, our Marian Anderson.
And you're lifting this memory up. You're lifting this purpose up. Each and every day you walk into this building and you restore this. You try to keep this history alive. And how can people help you?
Marian Anderson's museum, her home, her National Historical Landmark, is just as important as every other National Historical Landmark building and cultural institution in the city of Philadelphia. Those who believe that can support us by visiting our website, www.marianandersonhistoricalsociety.weebly.com. You can call our office, 215-779-4219. Please become a member, become a sponsor, a donor. Our programming, which services the entire community from children to seniors, all of this holding the light of Marian Anderson's life up and above, picking up from where our blessed late founder, Marian Anderson's only mentee, the late Lady Blanche Burton Lyles, world-class concert pianist, left off.
And it's no accident that you are leading this charge. You're not only a leader here in terms of making sure this museum stays afloat, but you're also a performer. So I'd like to end on a little bit of you. Can you sing something for us?
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Bridging Philly, brought to you by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org. That's donors1.org. For Charity Howard and our producer, Patty McMahon, I'm Raquel Williams. Be well.